we build friendships. We don't build friendships based on our looks. We build friendships based on the spirit inside each one of us. When you say you love someone, then you're saying that I love the spirit of that individual. I love who that individual is. Now, if that's not the fact of pure love and true love, then you would cease to love someone as soon as they're gone. Because you'd say there's nothing to hang on to. At every funeral, you always hear me talk about they're not gone. They left the body. The body's a vehicle. All it is used for is to travel around here on planet Earth. And when our travel on earth is finished, then our spirit will disembark the vehicle. And a lot of us, you know, as again, every Sunday I tell you this, the older you get, the more excited you get about getting a new vehicle. God said, I got one waiting for you. But it's for you. It's not for that physical body of yours, Larry. It's got to go back to the dust. For I formed the human being out of the dust of the earth. It's going back. But you, see, there's where the spirit is. You hold on to the spirit of that individual. For that individual is spiritual. But you must be spiritual in all order to touch that which is spiritual. So when God created us the way that He created us, and then gave us this earth suit called a body, where we can walk around and shake hands and smile and get mad and, you know, we do all of this stuff from the human standpoint. God says, okay, I am getting ready to do something awesome in your life. I'm getting ready to introduce you to eternity. I am going to introduce you to my Father who is in heaven. But now, Larry, you can't meet me or my Father in that body. For there is no one who could look upon God in the human condition and live. No one. But because you are eternal and you are eternally spiritual, then we understand that God has a plan for us that the world does not understand. You know how I know the world doesn't understand it? I don't understand it. And I'm a spiritual being. I'm a Christian. I've been born again, born from above, born anew. I don't care how you say it. But I do want you to know this. I know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of my life. Not every preacher in the pulpit will tell you that. Because see, Christianity is a relationship. It's not religion. The world calls it a religious group called Christians. I'm telling you, it's a relationship. Do we not have a relationship with one another and that spiritual connection? Now, you don't really care how ugly I get or how wrinkled I get or how broken I get. You love me. And for those of you who don't love me, I hope I'm just ugly enough to scare the fire out of you. Scare you into loving me. You see, God says, look to the heart. Does He not? Are we not taught to look to the heart? Don't look on the outside, look on the inside. Are we not all seeking the truth of God? Even those who do not say they're seeking the truth to God of God, they say, I'm seeking truth. Well, there is no truth outside of God. Amen. You hear me? There is no truth outside of God. So what Christians need to do, I can say it, and it's simple. Now, the simplicity of what I'm getting ready to say sounds great, but it's hard to do. What Christians need to do is what Jesus did. It's what Jesus did. Have you ever read the Bible and noticed that God says This is what you need to do, because Jesus did it. You know, Jesus will never tell me to do something he didn't do. He'll never tell me to go somewhere where he hasn't went. Do you know that he will never lead me to an individual that he hasn't already been there? And let the spirit of that individual know that somebody's coming. Somebody in an earth suit is coming, with human skin is coming. And they're going to tell you spiritual things that I've told them to tell you. Why would God take time out of all the creation to touch the heart of a young person, of an old person, of any person? Why would he do that? First of all, a Christian needs to consider. Why do I need to consider? Because Jesus did. Jesus considered me. Jesus considered the situation he would see me in my life. He would see all the dumb stuff I was going to do from childhood up. And he would still love me, even after looking at me. Now I know some of you may be on these dating things on internet. And most of the ones that are on them are the ones that are shaking their head no, so knock it off. It's the idea that you get on these things and you lie about what you look like, and then knowing the other person's lying about what they look like. That spiritual you cannot lie. When you come in the presence of Christ, Jesus says, I see who you are, Randy Kidder. I see your heart. Webster Cundiff, I see you. I know you. Oh, by the way, Webster, I remember the very moment you said yes. And I remember the first defiant word right after that. I remember. And he says, I love you. See, I'm loved by God. When I became a Christian, Jesus says, you're mine. The world does a job on us, doesn't it? Oh, man. The world does a work on us. And it's an ugly work. But the work that Christ did inside of us cannot be redone. I belong to Jesus. You can't take me away. And the Lord said, I want you to consider. That means to think about carefully. We really need to start thinking about things carefully. Did you ever jump into something and right in the middle of the jump, you're saying, I cannot believe I had a case of the stupids like this. I remember doing that when I was told as a kid, you just swing across on that grapevine. Go ahead. You'll be fine. There's a creek down there, but you don't have to worry. You'll make it. I should have known, because it was a brother. I grabbed the grapevine. I did not make it across. I didn't even make it off the side except to fall in the creek, because it wasn't attached. And he knew it. See, and the Lord says, I'll never do that to you. When I tell you to trust me, I mean trust me. So he said, I'm just going to show you what you need to do. And I want you to consider. Think about it carefully. Listen to Luke 12:24. Jesus says, consider the raven. Consider the raven. You know, we're also told to pay attention to the ants. Now, isn't it interesting how God tells us to look at all of these creatures? I'm paying attention to the ant. I'm paying attention to the birds. I got to pay attention to the crickets and all the other things that creep and crawl. You know why? God said, consider them. And he goes on to say, while you're considering, they neither sow nor do they reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn. And God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? He said, consider this. I want you to look at all creation, and I want you to see how I take care of it. No, man is not going to destroy planet Earth. God said, I'm going to do it. Even the greatest stupidity of man cannot overwhelm the power of God. It's God's earth. You're God's child. And God said, I got you. Consider my word. For I have told you my truth. And my truth is, you're more important to me than all the rest of creation combined. I made you special. Now God said I'm special. He's the only one I can ever remember that's ever told me I was special. Faith told me once before I married her. Think of that. Special. I am special to God. And do you know, God, when he said I'm special, Webster, he didn't say, Larry, now I want you to comb your hair a little different. I want you to dress a little different. And then I will show you how special you are. You know what he said? I say you're special just like you are. God doesn't make junk. God doesn't make a mistake. When he made you right at the beginning. God says, consider how important you are to me. Well, you know, that just gives me a whole lot of courage for going into eternity. Because, you see, I consider that if God created all of these creatures and none of them can take care of themselves, he's got to feed them, and he does. A raven is a beautiful bird. Isn't it? Beautiful bird. God even said, okay, go get some meat and take it to Elijah. He needs something to eat. And the birds do it. That's a tough bird. And God says, I choose you to be the most special of all my creation. And he calls your name. There's nobody else like you, folk. Guarantee it. Nobody else like you. It's not that God broke a mold and it made you. He only made you. He did it with his hands. And when he got through making you, he says, you know, you're just the perfect individual. And nobody will ever be like you. Ever. So he said, go ahead and consider. Then Christians need to decide. To make a decision. Take a course of action. Folks, how many times do I hit this? Guarantee you all, some of you are going to be fussing because the other won't decide where you're going to eat lunch. Saying that you go ahead. I'll go wherever you want to go. You go ahead. I'll go ahead. Okay, let's go to White Castle. We don't want to go to White Castle. Think of it. Considering what God has done in our life and then deciding on doing what God is telling us to do in our life. Revelation 3, verse 20. Now, I want you to really get this scripture I'm getting ready to read you. Revelation, first three chapters, writing to the seven churches, Asia Minor. And there's a church there at Laodicea. And Laodicea was an uppity church. I mean, it was uppity, uppity church. It was the Christians who had their nose way up. And they said that they were so wealthy. This was his church, Laodicea. We're so wealthy. We got it made. We are the perfect Christians. And then Jesus comes in and messes it up for them. He tells them the truth. You know what he said? He said, not only are you not wealthy, but you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Revelation 3:20. Here's what he says. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Now hear me. This is the church. that were so awesome for that community, so wealthy. They saw themselves as so beautiful. You know what the problem was? Jesus was outside the church trying to get back in. They had got so beautified that they were not sanctified. They had looked and smelled so good, it was too good to invite whosoever will let them come, including Jesus. And the scripture says, Jesus says this, I stand at the door and knock. You think of the embarrassment there. Jesus is shut out of the church. If anyone hears my voice, you know, it's a, is anybody in there? Remember that Wendy's commercial or one of them, Where's the Beef? Is anybody in there? And all of that. It's like Jesus saying, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. Jesus said, if there's anybody in this building, I'm knocking at the door. If you can hear me and you want me in your heart, come and open the door. But the question was, if anyone hears me, what good is it to gain the whole world and lose your own soul? What good is it to have all the wealth, all the beauty, all the smell good stuff, and not to have Jesus, and even not let him in the door? Didn't even let him in the door. But they said, it's a Christian church. Church is not Christian without Christ. Church is not Christian without Christ. You can preach, you can teach, you can read the Bible. You can pray all along prayers you want to pray. You can get up and sit down, kneel, lay on your belly, jump a pew, or whatever in the world it is you do. But without Jesus, it ain't a church for him. It's just another club of the secular world. Jesus says, consider and decide. Decide what you're going to do. You met people that can't decide to walk across the road. A decision. Well, I got to make a decision. You decide for me. It's not my decision. It's yours. I can't decide for you to accept Jesus. I can tell you and I can beg and I can promise you this. When you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life will forever change. And I can also tell you this too. All hell's going to come against you. And it's going to be one of the hardest decisions you've ever made. I know people that are mad at God because they did fine until they said yes to Jesus. And then their whole world fell apart. I'll never step foot back in a church again. What'd you blame that on Jesus for? We're always looking for somebody else to blame. Jesus said, okay, pay attention. Consider the situation in your life. You want to have a life that is really the great one? I'll give it to you. Then I want you to decide whether or not you're going to accept me as Lord and Savior of your life. You make that decision. That's yours. Then he says this, Christian, you need to act. Act means it is the doing of something. You got that squeaky door? One of these days I'm going to fix that. That thing's been squeaking 60 years. One of these days I'll get around to putting something on it. Honey, go buy the something I need to put on it. And then remind me in a year or so to put it on it. Said, I want you to act. I want you to take a stand. I want you to take a step. I want you to speak out. I want you to shut up. I want you to act because I have. We just read it a while ago. Gospel of John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Says, I want to see you act on that. Because I did. I gave. I gave my life for you, Larry. I gave my blood for you. I gave my heart for you. I took your pain. I took your punishment. And in so doing, I give you victory. You see how hard it is to go to hell? You see what all a person's got to reject to even end up in hell? Well, people say, going to hell is easy. No, it's not. Being a Christian isn't easy. Jesus never promised us it would be easy. He just said to you and he said to me, I'm going to be with you in the good times and the bad times, in the hard times, in the hurt times, in the ugly times. I'm going to be with you. I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Because it says, I love you. I know you. And I love you just like you are. Now, how many best friends do you really have that let you know they love you just like you are? Looking at my heart and sees all the flaws of who I am as a human being. And said, Larry Pete, I love you. And one of these days, supper time's coming. Supper time. Jesus has prepared a banquet for you. Woo! I think that's a pretty important person, isn't it? I get set a table with Jesus, Brother Randy. Yeah, I know, you're going to be there sooner or later. Think of it. And God says, whosoever will, let him come. But folks, you listen to me carefully. You got to open the door first. And when God says, whosoever will, let him come, you better welcome them with open arms. Because they wouldn't be here if Jesus didn't send them. And if he sent them, they're important to Jesus. And if they're important to him, they're important to us. Because I know Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we praise your holy name for your love, for your truth. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the purpose you've given to each and every one of us. Even though, Father, we don't even know that purpose. We know that you love us, you won't forsake us, and we wouldn't be here if you had not made it so. Touch our lives now. Give us strength, courage, holy boldness to stand strong and firm in your truth, in your way, in your wisdom. For we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.